show, we pray. Heavenly Father, we accept thy gracious and wonderful presence and know indeed that you are here, even as we know from nature that there is a God. We know from the Holy Word, fulfill the expectation of man, that man actually turned from and didn't expect, just like in your days when you visited here in the form of your Son, when you came down and dwelt him. Men were expecting Messiah, but not that kind of a Messiah, and there was no rest with the people. Their wickedness was in the land, the serpent seed running the church, everything seemed to sixes and sevens, but you were there just the same, and out of it came beauty for ashes, and the glory of the Lord rose upon men, though they didn't see it. And tonight, Lord, we're a few numbers they were back in those days, and we're blessed because our eyes have seen those things which the prophets wanted to see and many men wanted to see. Caught a little glimpse of, but here we are seeing it, Lord, and we pray that we may appreciate it and really realize that this is it and there isn't anything else, Father. I know many a heart would like to believe something else, but it's not that way anymore. This is it, and Father, we are in that place of live, die, sink, and swim. Bring, therefore, the peace of God to our hearts tonight as never before, as we survey the wonderful things that have happened, Lord, cogitate upon them and see the word of God being fulfilled. Lord, you said yourself, if any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. And we would trust and hope tonight that our intentions are, and we are well intentioned to do what we believe and permitted to do it, and successful too, is to glory in thee, O God. May we glory as never before as we see the word that has come to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to start tonight on number 25, and that's the second volume. But before we do, I was just thinking that last Sunday I was speaking a little bit, and I sort of, you know, went off to the side, and I was talking about science. You know, there is such a thing in the disciplines, in the higher education, so-called. There's such a thing as they call pure math and pure science, of which I suppose pure math is a part of the pure science. And we know there'd be no such thing as science except for mathematics, and there'd be no such thing as mathematics except for creation. Everything has a measurement, even that which seems to be infinitesimal. But speaking of how science has deluded itself so completely, they know that one and one make two, and actually one and one will always make two if it is in the divine economy and principle of God, according to God, the Creator and His creation. Also, we know that H2O, that's a matter of also, again, that's a symbol, of course, hydrogen, oxygen. And we know without actually being able to ascertain the various parts, such as two hydrogen, one oxygen, you wouldn't have water. Yet there are two gases, they come together by electrolysis. You can put hydrogen in one tube, hydrogen in one tube, oxygen in another, and you put your spark, you see the water form. I think about every kid that ever took a little bit of chemistry knows that, or some type of natural sciences. But you know, science has got to the place where man is so confirmed that he really knows everything, that by actually waiting, by actually studying, by observing and experimenting, he is going to be able to take the exact knowledge that lies into science and bring it to the highest peak, so that literally what he's talking about is creating a heaven on earth. And somewhere in the dim future, hopefully it's very close now, because we've got people living longer, yet somebody comes along and says, yeah, he's living longer, but his life is rotten. Who's interested in longevity? We're interested in quality. I would sooner live to be 32 years of age and have a marvelous time than be 100 and feel rotten and miserable all the time. So no matter how you look, there's always somebody trying to figure something out to go right down the line. And the scientist is very clever, but let me tell you where his one and one don't make two. And that is, we've told you many times, all right, they look at all the creation here, and they say that if there's protein, life must come to it. That is the biggest bunch of bunk in all high heaven and all the earth here. That isn't true at all. Protein was necessary for the life that was to come and be manifested. But without the life, the protein is worth a plug nickel. See? So as I say, the science has overstepped itself. They've come to the place, actually, I've mentioned this before, and they're doing it in education circles of education, They're doing it in the higher schools of so-called, mental gymnastics, which is your education degrees and so on. And in there, they have taken for granted that evolution is scientific. Let them bring their one and one make two. They can't do it. They theorize on one and one making two. So it doesn't do it. Won't do it. There's no way. So what did they do? When they convinced themselves that evolution was correct, now they want to apply evolution to you and me. Now, you don't understand this. That's all right. You'd have to study quite a bit some of the courses I took and the asininity of the whole thing. I don't really understand it myself. But you see what they try to tell you by evolution. You go back to a worm, and in the worm is the inner seed. And they're talking about inner and outer right now. And they go back and forth in education until everything presented today is from the background of evolution, which they can't prove. Because if evolution is as they say it is, all you have to do is set up an ideal condition and life will come to it. You know the ideal condition life is today? Sex in the human bodies that are so degenerated that the kids aren't worth bringing forth. Not that there's something wrong with our kids in the sense of being lovely children, but look at the bodies they're inheriting. And where did it come from? Smoking, drugs, rotten living. So that's what I was trying to say last Sunday, and I know I just was kind of garbled on the grounds that I just hit it and sort of walked by. But I'm going to tell you, when I mentioned that you're going to find out that two and two don't make four, and I mean that's exactly right, because two and two are not making four. You know why? Because they theorize. They speculate. Then they prognosticate. Where's their prognostications going? It's right down the river. See, that the world is in such a mess, there is no way to reclaim it. A certain doctor who was perhaps one of the finest brains in biochemistry, nutrition, what have you, Dr. Kelly, said if the American generation wants to get back to the health it once had, it will take 8 generations of doing the right thing. 8 generations? Ha! Every one of us will go home tonight, and if we can find it, we'll eat a jug of ice cream full of poisons. You know, cherries to put on top, preserving their formaldehyde, throw them in a manure pile, they won't even rot. That's right. That's right. So that's what I was talking about. Two and two do not make four with these scientists, only with God. Now you watch what happens. You're going to find it, because they put their two and two together and come up with their ridiculous evolution. And of course, Dr. Merkel comes on the scene and he proves that the animal intelligence of the cell, and I've preached for years every cell has an intelligence, nobody believed me. Well, yeah, people did believe me because I got it from other people. But I mean people that I preached to. And the Pentecostal tongues talking. You know, there's a joke. Should I tell you a joke? I'll tell you a joke. Back in Canada, we had a joke. The English people, we didn't like too much, and I can understand why. Anybody's English here, you ought to suffer. It's your tough luck. But there was this kid. He was an apprentice in a butcher shop. And the guy came in and thought he'd have some fun with him. So he said, I want an English sheep's head. English sheep's head. So he went back and he asked the butcher. He said, what is an English sheep's head? Ah, he said, you knock out the brains and leave in the tongue. That's my little joke about the Pentecostals in Canada who wrote these books and said, oh, there's nothing to cellular therapy. There isn't. What made the preacher scientific? Now, true science is serpentine. You're never going to present it to him. So, okay, we'll just leave that. I wanted to cover that because people get tapes and they don't know where I'm really coming from. They think I've said one thing. It's true and I might mean another. All right, we're looking at the study tonight on page 57. As last Sunday, we studied the first paragraph only of the message in writing given by God to William Branham. Now notice, given by God to William Branham. William Branham admitted, he said it to me, it's on tapes that are extant, that as the pillar of fire was with Moses, we haven't seen it for 2,000 years since the time of Paul till now. He himself elaborating said, just think the same pillar of fire, not the pillar of fire, Jehovah in the pillar of fire. They brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. So there were many things that came to our attention, but always the theme was, whatever seed is sown, there will be a reproduction of that seed. Like or kind has to bring forth like or kind. Dogs don't have cats. Cats don't have horses. Wheat doesn't make oats. Simple as ABC. Alpha always has an omega, which omega being the harvest of what was sown in alpha. Right. Brother Branham uses Genesis 1 and 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding seed after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. It was so. Then immediately says, these last days the true church bride comes to the headstone and will be the super church, a super race. As they near the great headstone, they will be so much like him, even they will be in his very image. In order to be united with him, they will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. So you heard me quote this. Be it therefore known, based on Genesis 1 and 11, that these words speaking of the last day's true bride church are describing the omega fulfillment of the alpha seed of Genesis 1:26 to 28. Or in other words, the actual harvest or product of those verses. So, what's Genesis 1:26 to 28? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Now you notice there's a multiplication in there, but he starts with this one. So this is going to be the seed. He's a spoken word seed, because God said, let us, and he went through the processes. And having put this man on the earth, he's going to look forward right down here to get from this man what he wanted over here. So there's an alpha, there's an omega. All right, there is an Adam, and everything that God wanted there is to come up over here. And there's not going to be one change, it's going to be the same persons. It came from the seed sown upon the earth. Okay. Now, have dominion over the fowl of the air, cattle, and so on. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now notice there's a double emphasis there. Like verily, verily. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now remember, one of those things was a serpent. He had a seed that would mingle. God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which upon the face of the earth, and so on and so on. So therefore, this is the alpha. And you can tell that this is a fabulous promise command. that is given to this individual. And there's a whole great big Bible written in between till you get back to the book of Revelation and you see the holy city, New Jerusalem, where you see the bride and so on. So, all right. Brother Branham speaking here says that these last days church bride come to the headstone. It'll be a super church, a super race as they near the great headstone. And they'll be so much like him, even they will be in his very image in order to be united with him. They will be one. They'll be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Now remember, that's coming at the great wedding supper. There's a union going on by the Word. It's always been going on. There's an entire special union where they don't die. And you're looking at the resurrection, rapture, and marriage supper. Be it known then, based on Genesis 1:11, that these words speaking of the last day's true bride church are describing the Omega, the harvest, the end results, the fulfillment of the Alpha seed of Genesis 1:26, 28, or in other words, the actual harvest or product of those same verses. That this church will be the manifestation of the Word of the living God is unequivocal and cannot be thought by any means or for any reason to be otherwise, because this is the Omega or the harvest seeds produced from the original seed word of the sovereign God. Now, what we're looking at here, we must never ever believe for 1 minute the way most people believe it and teach it. You've got to teach it just like Brother Branham. There was an interruption, period. I don't care two bits about the interruption. You can hold me back on any highway. Yeah, this is going to be awful hard for Lee Vale to say this. With a whole bunch of cars ahead of him, knowing he's got to sit there in the hot sun like he did in Tennessee one time when the air conditioner was, those days that were not too good. And oh boy, what a mess. But I still say, maybe not too anxiously, because I'm a very impatient person in many ways, but I don't care about any interruption. Like as I said, I'll eat anything, you name it, no matter how awful, if I knew it'll heal me. What do we care about an interruption? No matter how long or how much the duress, if we are kept to it to get the prize. Now that's what people don't understand. They think there isn't an interruption. There's such a thing as God watering down his plan, God changing his plan, even minutely or some way, so that this does not come to pass. Now you see, the church has always blown it. The only words that are correct are interruption that Eve caused. See, so there again, that this church that he's speaking of, this bride church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the manifestation of the Word of the living God is unequivocal and cannot be thought by any means or for any reason to be otherwise, because this is the Omega. This is the harvest, the net end results of the sowing of the seed, and is produced from the original seed word of the sovereign God. If this would fail to be so, then the Word of God has not been and is not now and cannot ever be absolute, so that God cannot be trusted to fulfill even one word, because he is either a liar or he can be frustrated. Now, let's be honest. You cannot even believe in a God who is not sovereign. Because if you have a bunch of gods that are not entirely sovereign, then they must engage in warfare until one kills all others. Then you just might have a sovereign God. So therefore we understand immediately that most religion is completely vain and void. And they are not only worshiping not God, nor even really the God of their imaginations, because there's no such thing. Notice what Brother Branham says. Denominations can never produce this. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the word and will bring forth a hybrid product. In plain English, the word of God will produce exactly what it says and means. And any other word will produce any old thing, but not the word of God. It'll produce a hybrid. And remember, those hybrids are living people, so-called. Now, before we go to paragraph 2, let us repeat. The law of reproduction is inevitable. God will sovereignly produce a true word bride church because that is what His word demands. He will produce it, and only by His word. To me, these words of Brother Branham's are the words of Paul in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Now remember, a bride was to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He knew they were going to fall. They'd already fallen away. Yet, in spite of it, listen carefully to what the word promises, beginning at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now watch those gifts. Now he that ascended, that's the one that went up. What is it? But He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He went down, went up. Watch. He that descended, the one that went down and went up, came back. This, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. So He's telling you, the one that came here on earth, don't leave my soul in hell nor my body suffer, that one went up. Now it tells you right now, He came back this time in the form of the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham tells you that. It is true. Every scholar admits it. That same one came down, He descended. Is the same that ascended above all heavens. And you go to Colossians, you'll find that. A name above every name, He's above everything. He's so far above everything that you can't see anything below Him. It's all just dust. The Bible says so. Now, far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Have the preeminence. See, the Bible in Ephesians tells you about preeminence. Now watch what He did. When He came down to give gifts, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Watch. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith, even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when you're looking at this, you understand, He's already telling you about that one that came down that went up, who is far above all heavens, and every name must bow to His name. The one who came back and said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That one that rose is the very high priest. Now, there's other scripture pertaining to this, which you get into later. We've read many, many times. Now, if you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, in other words, right up there with Him, not only, as Brother Branham said, your little messiahs, little replicas, but literally, you are literal priests and kings unto God with Him, identical to what Peter said. So here we are, this one bringing many sons into glory with Him. That tells you that, and tells how it's done, that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now these are the many-membered bodies, the many members of the one body. And notice what he said he did. He came down and set his own church in order. Now, that's exactly what he did. Now, there is only one way that anybody can ever receive the direct communication from God is a prophet. Now, notice, God never even came to the Virgin Mary. He sent an angel. All right, and remember, there's also two kinds of prophets. There's a kind of a prophet that God speaks to in visions and in dreams. And then there's a very special kind of a prophet like Moses and Paul and William Branham, to whom God shows himself according to Numbers 12, which is even apparently, they even see the similitude of God, which is a pillar of fire. There's a picture right there, if you don't believe it. What's your right? That's a fluke. Well, you're a fluke. Sure. I'll meet you at the white throne. I'm not talking to you people here. Heaven knows what goes out there. They get the tapes. They say all kinds of crazy things, which I don't see. All right. Here is what you're looking at, what Brother Branham told us. Now, this also is 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and that second verse. For I'm jealous over the godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, we go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 19 to 27. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let wives be subject to your own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So therefore, there is a virgin bride at the end time. No matter what happened in the Garden of Eden, no matter what happened in the time of Jesus, no matter what happened in the time of Paul, no matter what's happening today, the harvests are there. And they without us cannot be made perfect according to the book of Hebrews. There's going to be a bride standing right here that is absolutely identical in the sense of imputation and actual giving by Almighty God, standing right here in bodies that are absolutely equal to those that are over there having shed this flesh and are now in a word body. Now, there's where you catch up where Brother Branham said the baptism with the Holy Ghost makes it equal to a word body. Now, you know it's not really equal until this hour. And I'm saying that, and I believe that. I'll tell you why. You don't say to rock, now rock, I don't want you to jump up and fly. The rock said, don't be an idiot. I can't fly, I'm a rock. If you had that word body, you'd be beyond temptation. We were given these bodies of the flesh to be tested. We bypassed the one that couldn't be tested. So you always can be tested here. But what we're showing you here is it's commensurate because they without us cannot be made perfect. Where do we stand by the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Just we got a word body. Well, come on, get back to Ephesians. It tells you that. Come on, if you don't believe it, I'll read it to you. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession for the praise of his glory. Until he comes and transforms us, that stands right there as though we had a word body. Don't you understand very simply, how can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sins until there be no evidence? And if there's no evidence, you can't kill a man without evidence. You see, I'll take it on circumstances. Circumstantial evidence, see, the courts are allowing that. Once they allowed that, and they've been doing it for years now, where are you? Oh, they'll mouth off that they don't, but they're liars, because you pick up a paper almost any time. You see, they've hung men on circumstantial evidences. Corpus delicti doesn't mean anything anymore except pass the ice cream or something. Doesn't matter if there's a corpse or not. Now, what we're looking at here is also, believe it or not, and I know you'll believe it, is found in the book of Acts, I beg your pardon, the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. It's the same thing. And Jesus is speaking here on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying in 28 and 29, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now, let's go back to Peter and see the very same thing. Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter. And he says here, in the first chapter in 23:24, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is a flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." So you see right here, when you see what Brother Branham is saying, absolutely, this scripture here, given by God to him, is the alpha thesis, the omega thesis of the alpha presence. In other words, this is that fulfillment that was supposed to take place and is even now taking place. Now watch, the first son. What is the word first? Alpha. The alpha son, Adam, was spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to produce himself. She fell. But she fell, and she caused him to die. All right. Let's just take a look at Scripture. These sons, he said over here, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the whole earth. I want you to bring forth sons." Now, you will notice that it is sons that are mentioned in the Bible. And you'll also notice it's the firstborn, except in the case of twins. And you notice in that case, Esau and Jacob. The birthright goes not by the definitive of the striking of a clock. It goes by the definitive of the foreknowledge, election, and predestination of Almighty God. Now, these sons must follow in the earthly pattern, exactly as they followed with God in the heavenly pattern. Now, the pattern in the heavenly was, the earth must be filled with the glory of God, and that earth filled with the glory of God will be by God's sons, and he has a chief son. Now, Adam was given Eve in order to reproduce himself. Now, the 5th chapter of Genesis will tell you something. This is the book of the generation of Adam, the Alpha. "In the day that God created him, in the likeness of God made he him. In the likeness of God, he made Adam was made, in the likeness of God." Then notice, "Male and female created he them." See, there's your second step again. "And blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness." And where did his likeness come from? God. "After his image, and called his name Seth." Where did the image come from? God. So, he begins to propagate. And the propagation, of course, is now under sin. The interruption. Because the only interruption is the ruling and the reigning and the complete glory, the filling of the earth, is merely postponed. But it has to be. It's got to be. And remember, the scripture says, every plant that my heavenly Father not planted is going to be rooted up and it's going to be burned. All right. So, Brother Branham is telling us, the Alpha Son was spoken seed word of God. To him was given a bride to reproduce himself. But she fell, and she brought death into the camp,
And you notice they're all dying.
But you'll notice what it says over here in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's why I'm such a stickler for these verses, because they tell the whole truth. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, in identical manner, they're made alive in Christ. Now, every single child of Adam became death-doomed. But even then, the promise had to be fulfilled. That means God had to take every single one out of the ground and put him on this earth in the propitious situation that he was supposed to be in. Now remember, I told you on different occasions, the word subdue can have different meanings. But it has a very strong meaning, which means to absolutely break, to break in shivers, as it were. And you remember, Satan was in the Garden of Eden. Adam's race, Adam was given the opportunity with his wife to produce that seed that would take over from Satan. The Catholic Church pretends it's the church. You're going to fool everybody when all the money starts rolling out and all the goodies start coming in with money can produce. Oh, they say we could conquer it. No money. Oh, TB would go down the drain, but no money. They've got millions and they're wasting it on their own stupid actions and their, you know, their demagoguery. Oh, we could cure cancer. No money. They've got billions of dollars sitting there. Only 4% ever gets out to help anybody. Come on, read your statistics. Biggest boondoggle, lousy, rotten thing in history. They don't care two bits about any of money. Then those who have the gold are going to run everything and bring the kingdom of God on earth. Huh. Satan offered Jesus that proposition. And he would have ended up in devil worship. Don't tell me it won't end up in devil worship when it comes to gold. It's got to. See, that's the reason that the Jews don't have the gold. Can't have it. Takes the Roman Catholic Church up. Then you got the paper. All right. What we're seeing here then is this fact that there has to be these ones. All are going to come forth. The firstborn, always that firstborn, is going to be in that ruling and reigning class, because the firstborn shares 50% of the father's wealth. And when he is a good firstborn that's been well trained, his name is on the check, the same as the father's. And let me tell you something, even if he wasn't very fine, his name is still on the check. You can't get rid of the firstborn. A lot of folk haven't been too nice, I know that. We all have been kind of bad, if not exceedingly bad. But the point is, those children of God, we count ourselves part, are going to be here in the seed harvest, as it said over here in the first seed that was planted. And the first seed planted was an absolute child, a son of Almighty God. And he was in that image and in that likeness. And you can see right here in Seth, it was an Abel, mind you, but right here in Seth, it starts coming down. So there is a natural election and there is a spiritual one. And Christ was in the spiritual and in the natural. The Bible tells us that. All right. She fell. She caused an interruption. Now, the second son, a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam, but before he could marry her, she had fallen also, for she was put to free moral agency like Adam's wife, who was to believe God, God's word, and live, or doubt it and die, and she did. Now, that happened in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Now, then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. Now, that's Bible. See, take it right from the Garden of Eden. Supposed to overcome Satan, destroy every bit of his power. When is it done? When Jesus comes back and rules with a rod of iron and breaks and shivers the nations, and we come back with him. We're still going to do it. And anybody that's so squeamish, I couldn't do that. I got news for you. You ain't going to. You ain't going to. You haven't got a prayer. Cursed is he whose sword doesn't draw blood. I'm not bloodthirsty. I'm just telling I'm going to do it because he said so. Father Bannon said the bride has his word, knows to do it, and she does it. All right. There's going to be a brother. Now, Brother Branham's repeating himself from that first paragraph. A virgin of his word. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that he has promised for his word in the virgin who knows no man-made dogmas. Now remember, Eve and Adam were that way to begin with. Innocent. Eh? The word of promise in himself like it was in Mary. God himself made manifest. Now the word of promise came through Mary, manifested God. The Son came forth in human flesh, just as Adam came forth in human flesh too. But this is different. That's why God created that sperm and that egg. Absolutely. He never created the life in it. He just created the sperm and the egg. No, sir. That life was the life of the Son. At one time, he was in Michael, leading in the worship. He said, I don't understand all these changes. Who asked you to? Smart chemists don't understand a lot of change. They can't even tell you how it is. You can take 100% the same formula. But if you don't get it from the exact places, the exact thing as original, it won't be like the original. I'm sorry. I can prove that. I know that much about chemistry. Got to fight with the guy about that. I said, how come this food is not as good as this food? See, we're feeding animals, little animal husbandry. And he said, listen, he said, I can take any formula in the world, because I'm a chemist and a good one. I can analyze it and put it together, but that doesn't mean it's like that. Because he said, you got to know not only where the thing came from, but how it was mixed together and under what conditions. Right, Peter? Oh, brother. You know, people are so smart. Yeah, you're so smart. All right. He says here, we read it, the word of promise in himself like it was in Mary, God made manifest. As it was in Mary, manifested that one, God himself manifested in Jesus Christ. No, it'll never fail. Now listen. He will act himself by his own word of promise so to fulfill all that has been written of him. As he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the Spirit now. So will the virgin now, accepting his word. Now, right away, the thoughts are, hey, I'm going to do a lot of things. No, it says, fulfilled in. Jesus didn't fulfill anything. You want to get right down to brass tacks, was God fulfilling it in? He admitted it. You see, if he'd have gone his own way to fulfill things, he'd have done just what Eve did and Adam did. Forget it. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Oh, yet so? Yeah. Ephesians says so. Second Thessalonians says so. Time of relaxing is coming to time. Huh? She was obedient, be it unto me according to thy word, she said. And then she snidely said, well, if it doesn't work, something else will. We had him sitting here, believe that. Yeah. Smarter than the prophet, eh?
I'm taking my time. Turn the tape over. We got all night. 3 years in between. Okay. Here's what it says, if you dare to believe it. This page wants to stick, you see, but I'm going to read it. Unto every one of us is given grace according to measure of Christ, gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive, he gives unto men. Now he that ascended, went up, what is he, but he also went down lower parts of the earth, and he that came down is the same one that went up, that he might fill all things. And what did he do? He set the church in order. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, Paul didn't say, but you want to know something, you Ephesian people? He came to me, led me to the desert, we talked face to face. He didn't have to say it. He told it to the Galatians, and the Ephesians knew it.
So if you're not a fivefold minister and you begin teaching, you're going to have to answer for an awful lot. What is it? What happens out of that ministry? The gifts of God, how can they fail? He's going to bring a church to perfection. Now, I'm not going to use that verse against you. Don't think for 1 minute. I won't say certain things other preachers say because it's up to you to be led of God. Know which way you're going. All right, listen. Fulfill his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him, as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of spirit, so will the virgin now accepting his word. She will fulfill everything accepting his word. What's he talking about? This glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, that's going to rule the universe. And how's she going to do it? By one Christ Jesus, the head. Now remember, the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. The head of the church is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Everything in threes. All right, now listen, let's watch this. So will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me as thou hast said. Though it was an angel, while it yet was the written word, it was said by an angel. See? Just a minute. God never sent an angel to Moses. He never sent an angel to Paul. Did he? No. No. He never sent an angel to William Branham except on various occasions. But who did Brother Branham see face to face? Right there, pillar of fire. Now he's telling you, if an angel can bring a message that has been written in the Word of God and can bring forth what it brought forth at that time and fulfill it all, what can he not bring forth, or God bring forth, the bride bring forth, when face to face with God as in the end time? God himself talking to a prophet. You see what I'm looking at? I'm looking at an emphasis here which is by comparison. And what does it say? They will love him and will have his potentials, for he is their head. Now listen, they will have his potentials. What's a potential? Come the word potent, meaning powerful. So they will have the power that was decreed upon him as the head for the bride. This is that hour. I read it in Ephesians. The body completed. When that which is perfect has come, it's all over. This is the end time message. You will no longer be tossed to and fro by doctrine. You're not going to get fooled anymore. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to see. In other words, Acts 20 cannot come at the end time. Or it'll come. Won't do any good to a bride. There's no interruption from this point on. Why? Because there has to come a time when the word of God must be fulfilled just like any other harvest. Now, I know you can plant a good seed and get a cruddy harvest, but not God. I don't care how much muck and mire Mr. Lily goes through, he's going to come forth in all his glory. I'm going to tell you something. Solomon and the lily is not arrayed like you and me. Because the bride is all glorious within and without. There's not a spot and there's not a wrinkle. There's no comparison. Now see, watch what they're doing. But holding the truth in love will grow up
unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of salvation. What is doing it? The Word,
which is the conduit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when that Word is given, that is a seed which must have a harvest. And it doesn't matter what you think it looks like, it is going to come to pass 100% Omega, as was the Alpha, but in a multiplied form. So, all right, we've had an interruption. Now, they will love his potentials. In other words, what he could produce as being their head. And they are his subjects, subject to the head. Headship of Christ was his. Oh, come on. Well, see now, what did Christ want? Oh, yes. What did... See, you can go all completely screwy. Stop and think. Stop and think. What I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I say. You and I are not that person. Check your Bibles and find out what God said to him concerning this bride. That's exactly why Paul said, I do not live by faith in Jesus Christ. I live by the very faith of Jesus Christ himself. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because anything I see in the flesh, forget it. I live by his faith. Who will go? Lo, body hast thou prepared for me. And he, knowing that he could die on the cross and God would raise him up again and put him in that high office, knowing he would not lose one of us. No man can pluck us out of the closet. We are still living in that faith, and if you think I'm counting on the faith of Jesus Christ that Lee Dale's got of himself a little measure, you are ridiculous. I've got to count on him and him alone. Because he's the one that's bringing it to pass. See? All right, that's my understanding of this. Headship. We go to 1 Corinthians. Based on 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the Lord himself descended with a shout. And that's at the time of the appearing. Every man in his own order. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now he's talking about what? Talking about the Father putting everything down under his feet. God is putting the church in order. That's what church order is. Getting it under a true fivefold ministry, which have the Word. Let me tell you something flat. A man that's teaching isn't a teacher just because he teaches. If you're an actual teacher, apostle, evangelist, whatever you're going to be, it's going to have to be from that source of gift that God gave, and it has to do with the Word, which will eventually bring forth what God said in Genesis. You can't have something said in Genesis here, and then a seed sown, and over here, hey, man, look at this. Well, it's not at all like the original. It is. It's the same thing. That's why Brother Branham talked about resurrection. He said, if I drop my handkerchief and I pick up a tie, he said, that's not a resurrection. That's a replacement. What goes down has got to come up. Everybody said, what comes up, what goes up must come down. I got news for you. The bride, what goes down comes up. Now, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything. See, I told you that's up here. It's the same thing. He's telling you now in this third paragraph down there, what he said in the second paragraph. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about a prophet. Right off the bat, you can go completely haywire. Oh, boy, the church. Oh, boy, we're going to... Oh, listen, why don't you just forget about what you're going to do with what God gave you to do? I can prove to you, if you take something that God gave you and you use it apart from his will, you are sunk. You're just exactly like the people, though you... That he said, I never knew you. Now, he's not going to say that to a bride that goes, he's going to put her into place or take her off the face of the earth. You're going to have to deal with her. But you get over here in the book of Ephesians...
I have a hard job finding this one here. 3:20. Now, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, in the literal translation, that comes out to mean, according to him that is working his own power in these human vessels. That's why Brother Branham said to the girl, he said, honey, I can't tell you unless I got thus saith the Lord. If I start talking off the top of my head, and I just try to tell you something to be nice, then there's a critical time comes. And I don't hear from him. What then? He said, I can only tell you if he tells me. So what is he talking about here? Now, I said, if the word brought in the book, brought by an angel to a woman, could bring this, what will it be if God himself brings his own word? Moses. Paul, William Branham. Never mind Jesus. That's a different entirely, because the Father was in him. Not in the measure these people have. Now, what harmony? Jesus never did things until the Father showed him. See? Harmony between God and Christ. That's see John 5:19. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it, never does it. Now, how did he do it in the Alpha? He did the mighty works a prophet is supposed to do before he opens his mouth. We know you're a man sent from God, because nobody can do these things except God. Tell him. He said, Rabbi, teacher. Except God be with him. So he's telling you that God shows you this by dealing through the prophet, through vindication, that this is that word. And notice, if she's bride, she doesn't doubt. She doesn't say, oh, Brother Branham, I hope I got the same gift as you, and then I can run interference, hogwash. You'll take the ball from him. He bemoaned it all the time. He's the one man that had the vindication, had a true gift of healing even. Nobody else had it. They claimed a lot of things, they didn't. See, she never does it. Now notice, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now look, you can go back to Paul for that. Go back to Moses, go back to the very beginning. But there's something else that he's talking about the end time now. So the end time's going to see a great big resurrection. Now, he said, I got a great big hallelujah here. Here's the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. When did a bride ever have thus saith the Lord? Only it was given to her by a prophet. Nobody but a prophet has thus saith the Lord. That's the key to being a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. Then it germinizes, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it's grown and serves its purpose. Then it's gone. When the word of this hour served its purpose, and the dead come out of the ground, and we're immortalized, we're caught to the wedding supper, that word is all over, it is finished. The next word is what? Wedding, married supper, and coming back to take over. It's all over. See, there's a little comma in there, a little breather. You just got to wait. They have thus said the Lord, and they keep still. Oh, man, this is going to sound great, is it? What was the sermon Brother Branham preached when Moses sat there, the Trinitarian Moses sat there, running through Africa with a big evangelistic message? He preached end-time evangelism. So if you don't have this word, you better shut up and not try to tell anybody anything. We had two guys in here. Brian can tell all about it. He'll give you the guy's name. Every time they came, these two guys grabbed him, want to pump him full of their ideas. Oh, they're hospitable. Oh, sure, they'll invite you and take care of you. They'll pump you full of their ideas. Maybe you say, oh, I don't invite you anymore. I was just kidding on that one. Pump you full of ideas. Who needs it? See? Well, she shuts up. If she wants something done. You're talking to that. Listen, brother, since you're doing the same thing here as in Ephesians, this church was set in order by putting a consecrated fivefold ministry in there. Where did they get their word? Not at Pentecost. They got it from Paul. Always the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And then he said, teach faithful brethren the way I taught you. And the trouble he had with the major church in the beginning was the Corinthian church, full of gifts. And most of them, I think, were phony. They were merely anointed utterances, Brother Branham said. They weren't true gifts in the sense of a true gift of tongues and a interpretation. Remember, there's gift of tongues, true, but not the interpretation. See, all right. Now listen, they will only do, amen, I believe that. No one can persuade them different. Live, die, sink, swim. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his word, to fulfill as he did not complete all things when he was here, for it was not yet time. All right, certainly. He didn't complete everything when he was here upon earth and human in his human flesh. But look, let's go a little further. We're also talking about the fact it was after Jesus left this earth and went up on high that he became the cornerstone of the New Testament church. Today he's the capstone. It's the very same stone as we saw that already here. Now, they cannot be persuaded to say anything of themselves. It must be exactly what was given to them by vindication. Now, they will do the works of God. For it is him, it is himself in them, continuing his word, to fulfill as he did not complete all things when he was here, for it was not yet time. Of course it wasn't time. Certainly it wasn't time. We can see exactly what Paul did. Paul was the one who laid that foundation. He was the one that went ahead. Now, if I am going to say anything here, I'm going to take you right back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And in here, in the fourth chapter, we find the church set in order as to what I told you was exactly what is going on. It's verses 7 to 16. See? So therefore, if Alpha is Omega, the bride church at the end time must have the identical Holy Ghost descent with a fivefold ministry with the Word of God to bring them literally up to Him. And Brother Branham said, we were approaching the headstone, and he said, the headstone is here. So therefore, while Brother Branham was even on earth, this had already taken place. How true it was when old Sam McConnelly, I don't know if he told the truth, I wouldn't say he would think he would lie, he said categorically, Brother Branham said, there's not that many true fivefold ministers. I haven't got a clue. I don't know what there is and what there isn't. But I know you cannot go by the Alphas and the Omegas. I don't care what you say. See, we've got an Alpha here, rule the whole world. All of my sons ruling the world. These legitimate ones. And remember, get this flat, at the very end time, the wise virgin are the bride, they are in the holy city, and the foolish virgin outside, but they're all virgins. He doesn't lose one. Baptized with the Holy Ghost, no, they come up on the white throne, and they're given eternal life. Predestination. You don't look down upon them and judge them. You leave them right with Almighty God. See, it's him, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill what he did not complete when he was here, for it was not yet time. Now you go to two things on this. You go to the vindication of William Branham, where greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. You go to the fact where he will not raise his voice in the streets. The bruise really doesn't kill. Smoking flax he does not quench. Till he hurls forth judgment unto the victories to the Gentiles. And in their name do they trust. He never fulfilled that. That's what he's fulfilling now. And to what purpose? Same thing right today. You have a prophet at the end time. You have a true fivefold ministry bringing you right to the headship. Brother Branham, listen to me and get this flat. I approached Brother Branham one time and I said, Brother Branham, let us bypass all these ministers. Let us bypass everybody. You alone have reality. Let's go into any single town we want to go into and we'll start fresh. He said, hold it, Brother Dale. That's the very thing I wanted to do. And he said, no, it cannot be done. He's got a fivefold ministry. He's got a bride. It's not a one-man show. There was only one one-man show, and that was limited in Jesus Christ. And his one-man show was not his own, but was for the purpose of God's children. There's no one-man show anywhere. except God himself. That's Elohim. And it's a good thing he's Jehovah Elohim, which means he's dealing with you and me. He's just not an obscure God afar off and does what he wants. He's told us what he wants. Now, at the end time, we have him descend and put the church in order again, exactly according to the word of God. Now listen, here's the point, what we're looking at. He does now what he couldn't do then. He had all of this there, but it couldn't happen till here. What he had there was for there, and what he has for here is here. And it's the same one. Now come on. How did he ever do it? Not with a group of people doing anything, but by a prophet and the people listening to the word. And when that church is in proper order, anything could happen. As Brother Branham said, you Pentecost, if you'd have stayed with what God began to give you, stop thinking you had everything. He said 50 people could have turned the world upside down. But let's get this flat. No 50 people will ever turn the world upside down. It's never going to happen. It never has, and it never will. It was said of Paul, they turned the world upside down. It was just a catchphrase. There isn't anybody but God himself will turn this world upside down. And that is after the stone made without hands come down and split all this crazy empire. There's the 10 toes of democracy and communism and splits it all to pieces. Now, so Brother Branham is telling us here, bringing us right to the end time, where there is a virgin church, where it has the word of Almighty God, which can only come by a prophet, which previous to this, he said, I'm talking about my message that God gave me. Come on, we studied it about 8 or 10 Sundays ago. He said it was his. So what do you do? Suddenly say, well, bless God, we got something. Oh, you do? What do you got? I'd like you to prove it to me. You see, a fivefold ministry, anything the ball has had, you're one thing. I don't have a thing. But by the grace of God, I believe what was vindicated. And I'm trying to handle that so you'll understand that live, die, sink, or swim, this is it. Because it's the end time. How many end times can you have? How many Elijahs can you have? How many advisors did Elijah have? What conference did Jesus Christ call? What conference did Moses call? What conference did Paul call? Tell me what synod. Should be spelled S-I-N instead of S-Y-N. Sin odd. But sin isn't odd, except it is odd. Now, he's told you what this is all about. God giving the writing. And this is now. Now, right now, in this little group, is a virgin of the word, because it's given up every word, like the Apostle Paul. He said, what I took to be the word of God, the revelation, is nothing but manure. Now, what is manure? Manure is the stinking stuff that the life got out of. Somebody chewed it up. It's all over. That's what he called it, manure. So much for your head knowledge and your symposiums and your synods and your conferences and your getting together and figuring things out. You never were told to get together and figure anything. You're told to talk the word just as it was given. And not equivocate and wonder what it's all about. If you got any doubts, then don't talk that part. Talk the part you do know. If you don't get beyond vindication, great. How many people say, well, I think there might be something else coming? Even understand the first thing about vindication. How many understand that there is a baptizer before there can be a baptism? Didn't Jesus Christ die and rise again in order to be the baptizer? Now, what did he give you? The Holy Spirit. Part of him, his own life that he got from God. Couldn't be anything else. His spirit couldn't go back to God and join, come back upon you and be some other spirit. You know what? You'd have a hybrid, right? Come on, is that right?
Yeah.
It'd be a hybrid. Well, who wants that? Oh, man. Now watch what he says after he's talking about this. The vindication, the same ministry. Son of Man ministry. The same word ministry of the Apostle Paul. Here it is. From way back there, here it is now. Came right from the garden. Came up. Now, here it is right here. He tells you, this is it. Now, he says, the last paragraph. Let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Now, watch close on the spiritual background. Now, let us stand like Joshua and Caleb as we see the promised land coming in sight. It's nearing the time to be given. Joshua in Hebrew means Savior. It means Jehovah Savior. Represents the promised end time leader to take the church over. Now, just a minute. What did Brother Branham say our Joshua was? The Holy Spirit himself. The pillar of fire is here to take the millennium. Caleb represents the true believers who stayed with Joshua. Now, you've got a double entendre here, if you want to put it that way, a double meaning. Brother Branham said all many things have a compound meaning. You've got the fact that Brother Branham stood here as God to the people because the prophet is God to the people. Brother Branham went so far as to say when they said, Brother Branham, and I can't repeat this too often, Brother Branham, what does it mean when Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, I bet that person must have swallowed a lump of lead at that time. And I bet they could have had indigestion ever since. And this, I'll tell you, they will not swim, they will sink. But, oh, they'll put great faith in having talked in tongues. Yeah, got some spirit. You know, that condemns you? To speak in tongues and have gifts and then turn on a prophet, which is God to the people? Deny the Holy Spirit, blaspheme the word? You talk about double jeopardy. That's the wrong term, really, but just double the dose. Caleb represents a true believer who stayed with Joshua. In other words, you're staying with the Word, you're staying with the Holy Spirit, demonstrated. God started Israel as a virgin with His Word, and they wanted something different, so did the last day church. Okay. Now remember, he says here, the end time leader to take the church over or across. He didn't say to run it. You know, people want to run the church, although it's the same thing because he's in headship here. If he's going to take us over, he's got to rule it. Okay. They wanted something else, so did the last day church. Notice how God did not move Israel until his own appointed time. Now, here again, we're going to be looking at Brother Branham based on everything he said in these two sermons. Because he's talking about end-time ministry now that God gave him to summarize everything he preached. And this is the hour in which you live, right back from Genesis to this point. Now, he did not move Israel till his own appointed time. Now, listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. Well, the point is, how could he not wait? Supposing you're hungry. You say, oh, I'm dying. I got to eat. You're not, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And the wagon will not get here till noon. All right, just suffer with your cramps, honey. Oh, you'll burp a few times, the gas forms in there to make you feel all the worse. Oh, man, God eat. Oh, man, God eat. Sorry, chow doesn't come till 12. What's he talking about? He's talking about people who don't try to figure up something in the meantime. Can't they just wait? Josh, the Calebs wait. Because they know there's a Joshua. There's a man taking the place of the Holy Spirit. There's someone coming on the scene. Now, Joshua waited for that time, no matter how much people might have said, give us the land. God gave us the land, the promise. Let's go and take it now. So they ran up on a high mountain and said, here we are, Lord, take us away. They came down with their feathers all wet with the dew. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. They said that about Brother Branham. Where's your big miracles? Where's all the stuff you said? Where's the blind man you walk down the street, hit him on, touch him on the head, he got healed? Where's the babies, all the crossed eyes? Come on, do something, man, do something, hey. They said the same thing to Jesus. Why are you not doing something? Used to know, thus saith the Lord, in a moment, what was the will of God? Yeah. But this wise God sent prophet, he's feathering his hat now, not only knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise. A clear-cut decision from God for his time. What are you talking about? Is this the hour? How often did Brother Branham wait while people tried to shove him? He saw his ministry, what looked like going down the drain. He had confusion on every hand. Okay, let's stampede the guy. Let's get this prophet to sort of draw his horns in from God and stick his horns out on his own. William Branham is telling you something about a man like Elijah. Elijah went to the wilderness, and the king said, come on down, come on. What? He said, if I be a man sent from God, a prophet of God, let fire come down and kill the 50. Went to fire, killed 50 of them. Did that twice in a row. But you know those poor guys had to go back because of Ahab every time. And the third fellow says, I know you're a man of God. He said, please don't kill me. Will you please come in? He said, well, he said, that's better, I'll come in. Clear-cut decisions. People think William Branham's erratic. Why don't you keep doing big things, big things, big things, big things, big things? Here you're a full gospel businessman with Demas Shakarin now dead. Circumnavigate the whole world. Everybody's in Pentecost. Everybody's in Rome. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a big thing. Norman Grubb, I read his article. When I read it, I told you time and again, it killed me to find this great man of God, a tremendous fundamental. His magazine stood right there and he said, the most wonderful thing on the earth is the ecumenical move showing the love of God, bringing us all together. Oh, God. I felt like that sister down in Florida told me, and I was talking about the great Dr. Lee from down in Houston or someplace. I forget where it was. And she said, after Brother Vance, I'll tell you something. I used to think the same thing. I was there recently. The man gave the most marvelous sermon on salvation. And then what he said at the end, come up and shake my hand. Now you got it. Join the church. Here's a man you couldn't stampede. I was around him. I tried it. I was trying to be nice and friendly and helpful. How do you help God? Get out of his hair. Learn to step aside. Of course, God could give you a little boot now and then, it'll show. You used to know, thus saith the Lord in the moment, what the will of God was. But this wise God sent prophet not only knew the promise of God, but also knew to wait for that promise, a clear-cut decision. These are parables. Now watch. In other words, he's talking about himself veiling it. And when the time came, God gave it to Joshua, who stayed with him by the word. Notice, he stayed with him by the word. Not by signs and wonders and miracles and all those things. For he could not trust others. He could trust him. So here, you see the perfect union with the prophet? Jesus and the Father. Here's another son. Another little Jesus, so to speak. Little prophet. He was God to the people. Staying right with the Father. See? Like the mighty anointed prophet, Moses knew God would use him, for he had proved Moses to be his servant by his peculiar birth. Like the mighty anointed prophet, Moses knew God would use him, for he had proved Moses to be his servant by his peculiar birth. Brother Branham had one too. At the right time, deliverance for Abraham's seed was the time. You getting it? Moses, getting what? He's talking about himself. Sure. Moses, Paul, William Branham. In Moses, Christ. Did he more? In Christ himself, of course. In Moses, Brother Paul, Christ. William Branham, same thing. This is not a parable. This is illustration. Well, I'll call it a parable. Moses never stayed in Egypt and argued his scripture points with him. He never fussed with the priest, but he went to the wilderness and waited on the Lord. So did Paul, until the people were ready to receive him. He had come to testify of them, but they would not receive him. God called his prophet to the wilderness. God had testified, he'd chosen him, but the waiting was not by Moses, but for the people to get ready to receive Moses. Now, come on, that's true. When he went down there and he told them, gave them the truth that God revealed to them, they got up in arms about it. Well, they said, hey, man, look like you came here with a real ball of wax. Yeah, we've got little tiny drippings. Hey, man, it's worse than it ever was. Come on. And a whole bunch went and committed adultery. See, idolatry. Don't you understand you're seeing the same thing with this message and ministry? It can't change. It's the same word of God. It'll always be treated. It'll always come the same way, and it'll be treated the same way. People don't want to realize it. Oh, I can sit in the pew, bless God, and speak in tongues, and have the Holy Ghost. You watch my smoke. Where? In the lake fire? Could be, you know, the smoke of the torment goes up. Don't try to be a roadrunner. Be an eagle. Roadrunner's out there eating snakes. Yeah, he chose him. The waiting was not by Moses, but for the people. To get ready. My own experience. How long was it before I was ready for Brother Branham, of whom something inside of me said, if you ever listen to any man, that's the man you listen to. That was in 1947. But 13 years later, it began to come around. Of course, I was interested. Like what he said, under certain conditions. Wasn't too much against my own thinking. And it came to the point when I knew that he was that one. You have to be. You have. Moses thought the children would understand that he was sent. I never wrote it, he did, so it's now. Well, of course we know that's true. Like Elijah, after the mighty vindicated prophet of the Word of God came to finish preaching and message in modern American groups, the First Lady and Bob Dare and Jezebel Paint groups, God confirming his prophet. Every time he prophesied, it was the truth. God had to call him off the field, and he plagued that generation with mighty plagues, rejecting the message prophet and the word that God had sent to them. God sent the wilderness into hiding. Now he's talking about history. Even the king could not call him out. They tried to persuade him against the will of God, and died for doing so. That's it, you know, the captain of the 50s and so on. But when God spoke to his faithful prophet by vision, out of the wilderness he came with, thus saith the Lord. What did he do? Go straight to the word, back to the word he went, brought the 12 stones, rolled them together. Like John the Baptist, Christ's faithful forerunner, the anointed prophet, no school of his father, no school of the Pharisees, no denomination, could call him from the wilderness where God had sent him until he heard the voice of God, the Messiah's Lamb. Are you listening, spiritual mind? What more could I say here? I'm skipping somebody here now. So in other words, he's talking about how God dealt with the prophets back there. He deals with the same prophet now. So if you think, well, you put him in a closed closet, fine. I don't care what you're talking about. The idea is this. The prophet is a man that you can trust on the grounds. Positively, he is vindicated. Positively, he will not tell you anything but the truth. Positively, you'll have to wait until he tells the truth. Positively, you cannot pull it out of him. Positively, you are at his mercy because he's at the mercy of God. So sit down and listen. Like the Catholic priest said, shut up. God wants to say something. The Catholics were taught to listen. It's too bad they didn't hear the right thing. The Protestants were taught to yap. It's too bad they didn't yap the right thing. How different today. Many so-called evangelists claim they have the answer from God for the people. Now, what's the answer from God for William Branham? Thus saith the Lord, the true word revealed. They all claim it. How they claim it? Like Korah, because they got gifts. Denying and disputing the authority of God's vindicated prophet Moses, claiming he had the answer. That's what they did to Brother Branham. That was a money-making scheme, too, a golden calf. As many do today, building big schools, hatched out incubators, the same seed. And then people then, like as now, fell for it after they heard the true word of God through an anointed prophet that was vindicated. He just tells you these things. It's nothing but William Branham's life. It's a life of a prophet that was and is until there's no more prophets. You don't believe it? Let's find out. I'm going to quit right now. Matthew 23. We've been there. Oh, here it is right here. Now he says, verse 34, Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of you will kill and crucify, and some you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and the blood of righteous Abel and the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I send you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And that means the kind of people that act that way. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stones them that sent you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under wing, but you wouldn't, because you wouldn't listen to the prophets, and therefore you were not gathered to me. And what now? Take this now to 2 Thessalonians while we're at it. And go to the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Prophet.
Well, you know, God doesn't do that in the right way, you know. God doesn't do that. Who told you?
Who made you so smart? Come on, improve it.
Yeah, even make a lily.
Maybe make a little flower like in the days of Solomon. They claim, this is legend, of course. They made a flower so perfect like a real flower. Who can tell it apart? Solomon, without touching now, of course, you know. And Solomon took in the garden. No bee came near it. There's the one that's wax or whatever it was. Can you even do that much? Nobody can. Who can add a cubit of stature by taking thought? No matter how you try, you are at the mercy of God in this particular instance. How the word comes, how he gives it. And we don't have a say in it. God allowed man one time to have his say. And they said, Moses, we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. Please go back and tell God, listen, God, you deal with me and I'll deal with them. And God said, you have well spoken. From now on, that's it. Every man from that time on that went against a prophet was dead. They blasphemed the word. And who's the word? Figure that one out. Here you are. They fell for Korah's lie, the God-given prophet, and God knew, and God had told them. Israel knew God had told them distinctly he would vindicate his prophets by his word. Korah was not a scripture prophet, but it looked awful good to the people, same as it does today. Blood in your hands, balls of fire in the platform, oil on your fingers. The same thing produces women preachers and also short hair, bob, and makeup. What do you have? You would not think that people would fall for it, but they did like Korah, and they do the same thing now and turn away from the true word for denomination. What does denomination mean? Their own ideas. Shorts show what kind of seed is in them. But thank God all Israel never fell for Korah. Some stayed by Moses, the anointed prophet of the word of God. Same as today. And many of God's elected by his word and his spirit. Years ago there was a fellow. that I knew. He hated me with a vengeance. And he sent this paper out. He was a school teacher, by the way. Not fussing the school teachers, but he was. And in this class picture, all the people there, the photographer, they actually caught a ball of fire at his feet. And he sent it all around the world as vindicating him. What did I just read here? Balls of fire on the platform. Now, this sweet guy was a sweet guy years ago. This crazy little Polaroid film, you know how they all leak a lot of light? And so they got to know what's of God and what isn't out of God. He claims he had a dove of fire. Well, if you believe in hieroglyphics, it's significant to your existence. Or surrealistic artistry. It's not even geometric design. You can maybe believe what he thought he saw. And you know people fell for it? Well, I can tell you right now, and the world is on. I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing is plenty for me when it comes to all these signs and things out here. Just give me what the prophet said. I'll have a thing to show you. I'll have vindication, yet it's being spread around the world. I said that I did. You got the same vindication I got, if you believe the word of the prophet. What do you need it for anyway? You already have a vindicated word. What do you need vindication for? What do you need $1 million if you've got access in your name on the same checkbook as Rockefeller's and he's got billions? What do you need for it? What are you bothering having your own home if you've got 17, 20 homes that somebody said, hey, I got them all around the world. Take your time. Just float around. What do you need it for? What do you and I need anything if it's already here in the Word and given us? What are we talking about? See, we don't believe in that passive faith of vindication. I think we do in this building here. I don't have any trouble talking to you people. You believe, I believe with you by the grace of Almighty God. William Branham is a vindicated prophet. All of these things here are telling you about him from the Word of God and in contradistinction what's going on in the world now. Follow that? That shouldn't be hard then to see where we're going from this point. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth you've given us, which we know indeed it is the word of truth, because it has been vindicated to us. Now, Lord, we know that according to how we believe it, it is really the truth or not, because we know we could be misled. But, Lord, in heaven, we believe that If these people back in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the days of Paul, the days of Moses, and different prophets, could actually see your hand being revealed the way it is said in the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Numbers, and has followed through the centuries, we believe, Lord, we're in a very healthy position to listen and to be a part of the fulfillment of that very word. And Lord, we further believe that if we not only believe it to the extent that it was given by a prophet, but really believe that this is the true revealed word of the hour, this is our meat, this is our life, and nothing outside of it will have life in it, and we don't have a thing coming to put one thing to it or take one thing from it. But believing in our souls that this word alone has life, and by thereby all the life in the word, which is from you, is going to be released at this time for us according to the time and the word that's given. Lord, I believe that anything else that's needed, you will certainly add to us concerning revelation or the doing of any specific thing. But Father, we stand with the prophet who said, now that you have all this, just live good Christian lives. And I trust, Lord, that's what we are all determined to do and shall do, is live those lives, because it's already been settled as to the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And growing up into the very head, we know headship is here now. We're not talking to you, Lord, as though you're ascended up in the heavens somewhere far from your people, but down here now to lead us into the millennium. And we say we recognize that and thank you for it, because we know it is vindicated. And Lord, whatever assurance we lack, whatever peace or finality, we pray even now that your Spirit will help us to cast down every reasoning and say to ourselves, what is it that would keep me from believing that? And we know, Lord, when we look at it, there's nothing to keep us from believing it, because there is nothing in us to try to figure something else. There is nothing in us, Lord, that would produce anything to contribute to it or take from it. And so we know, Lord, as the prophet said, just leave it. Leave it alone. And so, Father, this evening, I trust that every one of us has come to that place where we can leave it as it was given and rejoice in the reality thereof. And as more and more comes clear, it would believe, Lord, that we, with our clear vision, we rejoice and glorify thy name even the more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we're going to have foot washing and communion. So what we'll do is just read a little bit of scripture and go on, because time gets away. It's 9 o'clock already by the looks of things. Yeah, it's about 1 minute two. We'll go again to John 13. That's the great chapter on love. And remember, it was John who said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And again, he says that the very first of this chapter, therefore having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This book is a great authority on love. And remember, John is speaking in terms not of human love or love which can be counterfeited, hypocritical love, as Paul said, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, some kind of flattering talk, you know, and get along with folk and this and that, you know. But he said, let it be genuine. And you notice when he's talking about this particular love here, he's not only talking about the sacrificial love, which indeed it is, because there's no love that's real love without it costing something, and you're doing something, you know, you put yourself to one side and all. But he's talking in here now about the reality and the truth of really what took place at that time. And what he saw here, literally, being there, Paul the apostle received it by revelation, not having been there. In fact, everything that Paul might have heard about this would have been terribly derogatory, such as, what's this bit about him saying, God, eat my body and drink my blood? His brother Branham said, that's a cannibal. We don't believe in cannibalism. And Israel did not believe in human sacrifice. No way, shape, and form. That was against the word. Couldn't even walk through the fires of Moloch. Couldn't do that. So here's something we're looking at, and that is, can you have love without being truthful? It's impossible. No liar can be a lover. I'm sorry about that. Seduction, yes, but not love. Because if a man loved you, he'd tell you the truth. Of course, he wouldn't tell you the truth in such a way as to run you down, hurt you, knock you down. We're all guilty. I'm saying we're all, because I want to make you feel bad, because I feel bad about it. We all have that power. Like you're showing mercy with kindness. A lot of people show mercy because they got no other way out. I'll let you off hook this time, but boy, oh boy. You know. So, we're looking at truth. Truth is a... One thing Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he's love, he's also truth. So there's no such thing as love being a lie or a lie being love. No. Now, these are pretty hard facts that are shown here. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and was come from God and went to God. He rise in supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water in the basin, began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with his girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou wilt know hereafter. And Peter said, well, if I don't get the answer right now, you're not going to wash my feet. That's not like Brother Branham. He said the faithful prophet waited. He didn't have to get his answers right away. You either have to have answers right away or give answers right away. It's dangerous many times to give answers right away. Just say, I don't know. So Peter didn't know. So he blew it. He wanted to know the answer right now. And what did Jesus do? He said, and Jesus said, all right. If I don't wash thee, you have no part with me. If you can't take this mystery about what's going on, forget it. I'm not telling you a lie. I'm not doing something I shouldn't be doing. There's no deceit in me. I am the truth. So he said, if you can't take it, it's over. Now, who was Jesus? Prophet. And the prophets did strange things, right? All very strange things. At the command of God. Go bury that piece of linen. Go do this, do that. It's a sign. I can't take that? You can't? Goodbye. Well, it's nice knowing you're not. I'm sorry, but you missed it. See, remember, he was a prophet. We don't want to talk about prophet. We want to talk about Son of God, 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 virgin born, virgin born, virgin born, this and that, and this and that, and this and that. Prophet. Right? Prophet. Right? If the word could only come to prophets, what would the word be when it came? Prophet. Prophet. So he's done this thing. Little object lesson. Now watch Peter's violent reaction. Lord, not my feet only, my hand, my head. Hey, give me a real bath. He did a real 180. He actually did a 360. Didn't know where to stop. What did Jesus say? Oh, I don't mind Peter. He's a nice guy. He just made a little mistake there. Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not to wash, not to, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. Now, you notice that this foot washing there, that's maybe a sign of walking through the waters, like often walking over Jordan. They walked through. They didn't walk in the water. The water's around them. But it's a little bit of a sign in there, because really these are the waters of separation. Right here, the foot washing, the water separation. And the waters of separation are the waters of cleansing, sanctifying. And it was at this time that Judas was begun to be pointed out. See, Peter questioned, and I would think that Peter became kind of the whipping boy for Judas standing over there. He said, not all of you are clean. He's speaking of Judas. So after he'd washed their feet and taken his garments, sat down, he said, know ye not what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. In other words, he's the superior authority, the great one among them. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, and you also ought to wash one of his feet, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done also to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not great in his Lord, neither he that sent him great in his neither he that is sent great in he that sent him. If you know these things, happy to do them. I have spoken not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth the bread hath lift up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you shall believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives whomsoever I sent me. That's part of this today's message. And then you'll notice in here they go on and they take the Lord's Supper. This is an actual true account. And this has to do with the betrayal by the one that was chosen by Jesus. Are you thinking? Well, think hard. How many people have churches voted in to betray the church? It's all part of the end time. It's all part of every time. There never was a time when there wasn't that going on. Betrayal. Now, the inception of betrayal came with Judas in the foot washing service, acting as though he had was walking through the waters of separation, clean every whit. That's it. You foot wash, you better believe that you're born again. Everything is to the believer. What could a man outside of Christ have anything to do with the ordinances? That's like trying to give the Hebrew law to the Gentiles. Forget it. Could you give the Gentile gospel of Christ to the Hebrews? They don't want it. It's only for the elect. All right, he walks through. What does he do? He betrays the Lord. And Brother Branham said, who is he? He's the Word. Betrayed everything that God did in man's life. The days of the Son of Man, which was a vindication for the Word. He preferred him in honor, gave him the sop. In fact, I think he might have taken the whole goblet with him. I'm a little judgmental, maybe not. Maybe not. And after he took it, Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. That's when the devil got a hold of him. Did Judas ever repent? He didn't. Is there any repentance after turning down this message and the vindicated word? There isn't any. What you see here is that people will go through every motion. Gifts, anointings, everything else. Doesn't mean that they're real. Doesn't mean that you and I are real tonight. There's only one thing, and that is that word. That's the only word that lives today, is this word that we're trying to preach tonight. By the grace of God, I hope we preached it right. And I know I have, on the grounds of Brother Branham.
is talking about himself, and God has given him the very words for this hour. These very words will make people rise up and say, aha, Brother Branham said one another was to come. And they say, I'm that one. And you'd be surprised the number who believe it. And they haven't anything at all, anywhere, shape, and form that even comes near the word. They don't even know what Brother Branham said. But they're sure because they heard that one little phrase, I'm the one. I've been in touch with some of it. And I'm so utterly appalled. And I'm sorry, I just don't know what I would say about people like that or to them. Fact of the matter is, I never say anything to them because I realize there's no use talking. Because a deluded man is always the man assured that he is right. By the grace of God, that is not a delusion. That is a... Now, there's science, my brother, my sister. And it's not one and one make two. And two make four. But the same God is right there that said one and one make two, and two make four, and H2O makes water. That's the same one that did it all. Yep. Let's rise at this time. Brethren, come forward. And you want to move those flowers around the back here?